Hello, world. I'm Greg Patton. Stand by. You know, it's said that human beings are united in the desire for acceptance and appreciation. That's true. Generally speaking, we want our peers to express approval so we can experience the feeling of being accepted. Though Christians know emotions are unreliable indicators of truth, believers fall into this pattern of searching for some tangible approval also. Truthfully, one of our most priceless possessions is God's acceptance of us as we are now. Thanks to Jesus Christ, we own a full measure of the grace of God. The Father does not say, when you clean up your act, your life, I'm going to accept you. Grace plus performance is not a workable formula in God's economy. If being a Spirit-filled believer meant achieving some lofty standard of behavior on our own, we would all wear ourselves out in that attempt. You know, if we ignore acceptance by God, then we're going to end up in the world's vain cycle of constant effort and activity in an attempt to earn the Lord's acknowledgement. Not going to happen. Freedom and a close relationship with God is rooted in His freely given acceptance. Don't forget that. Satan will tell you otherwise. Meanwhile, requesting a little prayer for, I think we're going to call it Take It Back Seminars from Victim to Victor. Spend some time helping people, since it's not spoken too often about how far demonic forces can go in the life of a Christian. And the average pastor doesn't know the answer to that one, and we sure would like to help folks. Yesterday, on the phone almost nonstop from Tennessee to Kansas to Fort Wayne, Indiana, helping people who have some problems what to do next. Pray about Name Your Sin and getting that information on the World Wide Web. Talk to the folks at Southwest Radio Church, going to put together a pamphlet. Kind of go through your sin list. Find out if there's something in your family tree, in your life, that could be bringing about bondage. Just want to help. Heal the brokenhearted. Set the captive free. Please, put our efforts on your prayer list and what God would be doing through Greg Patton Ministries in this area in the days ahead. And you can get in touch, by the way, at gregpatton.com, GREGPATTEN. Well, thank you in advance. What in the world is going on? Warning. Warning. The American pastor, who was in prison for 2 years in Turkey on false charges, is warning Christians right here in America, warning you that an environment of increasing hostility is coming, and you need to prepare to face for the kind of persecution experienced by fellow believers now around the world. Can you believe it? You better. Andrew Brunson confessed he wasn't prepared for the horrors he suffered in a Turkish prison. I came close to failing, especially during my first year. At times I was suicidal. I was overcome with fear and despair. I went into a relational crisis with Almighty God. That is something to pray about. It's worth noting, those in charge, those scary people in charge of the American culture, are increasingly hostile to those who identify with Jesus Christ and His teachings. Not necessarily talking about politics here. I'm thinking this is an issue of right versus left. No, it's not. Followers of Jesus Christ on one hand, and on the other, the enemy. Those who are hostile to the followers of Jesus Christ. Prepare yourself, my Christian friend. It's here. Well, it all went down right here in Indiana. Vicky White, the Alabama correction officer who has starred the country, scandalized America by allegedly walking a murder suspect and a convicted felon right out of the Lauderdale County Jail. She's dead today, 56 years old, after spending 11 days on the run traveling from Florence, Alabama, to Evansville, Indiana. That whole bizarre thing ended yesterday. Facing arrest, the woman shot herself in the head, later died at a local hospital. What's wrong with the Justice Department? Well, they've gone amazingly silent on the continued protest by abortion activists outside conservative Supreme Court justices' homes, despite a federal law. Do you know that? A federal law makes it illegal to attempt to influence federal officials and the outcome of a court case. It is illegal. Why aren't they doing anything about it? Because it's the new America. It's a flood of evil. And everything's on the table. Or off of it. Hey, how high's the gas prices, Mama? $4 and rising. Gas prices, it happened, hit a new all-time high. May the 10th, 2022, amid rising inflation and President Biden's restrictions on oil and gas production. Remember when, shut down the pipeline, first day in office? Moronic behavior. According to AAA's average gas price calculator, the national average cost of a regular gallon of gas, $4.34, the highest ever recorded by AAA. Great job, Mr. President. In so many ways, I'm reminded, normal ain't coming back. Jesus is. Praise the Lord. What's this? Barrington, Rhode Island. They have a very good public school system there. Some of the best in the state. Moms and dads move to that district and tolerate higher taxes in that district because of the academic rigor that sets their children up for attending Ivy League schools or receiving academic merit scholarships. It's great. However, all of that appeal is being chipped away after the district brought in a so-called equity and inclusion agenda. Equity, inclusion agenda, de-leveling, or a system of universal learning was first implemented on the most vulnerable students. Students with learning disabilities, etc. We're going to level the playing field. It's like where you play ball and no score is kept. Everybody equal. There's going to be no valedictorian nor salutatorian. Everybody's equal. That is an absolutely moronic program. What in the world? Well, you know. You don't? Let me help you real quick. De-leveling. It's a part of an agenda of equalizing outcomes. Does this sound familiar? This equal results approach stems from CRT, critical race theory, and diversity, equity, and inclusion, that all unequal outcomes are the result of some sort of systematic bias and racism and discrimination. Equity, in particular, is the code word for bringing higher achievers down to equalize all the outcomes. Equity has become a very unhealthy obsession, and parents are suffering. Kids are suffering. But it's the new America. So what happened? When I was a kid, I couldn't wait till Sunday night in the wonderful world of Disney and so innocent, and everything has changed, hasn't it, in 2022? Senator George Hawley is an example from Missouri introducing legislation that's going to strip, if it goes through, strip the Walt Disney Company of special copyright protections granted to corporations by Congress while also limiting length of new copyrights. The Copyright Clause Restoration Act of 2022 would cap the length of copyrights given corporations by Congress to 56 years and, well, retroactively implement this change to companies like Disney. The age of Republican handouts to big business is all over. Thanks to special copyright protections from Congress, woke corporations like Disney have literally earned billions of dollars while increasingly pandering to woke activists. That's another story. There's some interesting things going on. Where's Tinkerbell when we need her? Hey, I wonder if they stole the plans from us. Satellite images of a Chinese shipyard suggest the country may have developed a brand new class of nuclear-powered attack submarines. The images clearly show a submarine in dry dock, but shrouds over key areas of the vessel make it difficult to determine whether it's an entirely new class of ship or merely an upgrade of an existing model. What's happening in Russia? What's happening in China? What's happening in your life? So what do you think's going to happen, Roe versus Wade? Got any idea? And while we await the court's final ruling here, it is worth noting that Justice Alito wrote in the draft opinion that some supporters of abortion have been motivated by a desire to, and get this now, this is important, suppress the size of the African-American population. He goes on to write, it is beyond dispute, that Roe has had a demographic effect, a highly disproportionate percentage of aborted black babies. What Alito is spotlighting in his draft opinion is that dirty secret of the murder industry. Their officially sanctioned regime of murder is especially effective in snuffing out the lives of black and brown children. Big abortion, led by Planned Parenthood, mark it down, Planned Parenthood, puts profit over principle, lies over life, Satan over God. Any of this sound familiar? Coming down the wire. Jesus is coming soon. And here's a fact. People know Roe is a bad law. It is demonic. Over the last 50 years, many have acknowledged that, including many pro-choice Democrats, including Joe Biden. So at this point, 49 years in, if you're an office holder who supports legal abortion, the obvious solution is to vote for legal abortion, pass the law like they do in democracies, but it's not complicated. That's how it's supposed to work, but Democrats have no interest in any of that. Democracy is a tiresome, boring process, and worst of all, the outcome's not guaranteed. They need direct action. Liberal activists today immediately set about to threaten the Supreme Court justices and attack your position, Christian. A group called Ruth Sent Us, which is named in honor of Ruth Bader Ginsburg, posted the home address of every Supreme Court conservative. It is bad in this country. I've said it before. I'll say it again, again, and again. Christian, you have a target on your back, and they are after you. Where's my gun? What else is going on? Want to buy a painting? I mean, it's kind of weird. Let's see. Mustard hair, red lips, blue eyeliner, pink face. Oh, that's Marilyn Monroe. That's a 1964 painting called Shot Sage Blue Marilyn by Andy Warhol. Isn't that... What happened here? Well, the painting sold for almost $200 million yesterday, making the portrait of Marilyn Monroe the most expensive work by a U.S. artist ever sold at auction. The 1964 silkscreen image shows, yeah, there she is, Marilyn Monroe, hair yellow, blue eyes shut, red lips, rich blue background. Most expensive piece from the 20th century ever auctioned, according to Christie's. Previously, Jean-Michel Basquiat, whose 1982 painting Untitled, which was a skull-like face, that sold for $111 million at Sotheby's. That's 2017. This stuff, I mean, you got to be fascinated by it, right? $195 million. Excuse me, you got the time, pal? Los Angeles authorities searching for at least four suspects who investigators say hopped out of a beautiful Rolls Royce and robbed an unsuspecting couple of $19,000 in watches. Robbery happened Sunset Boulevard, 1 o'clock Sunday, West Hollywood. The police say the couple was in their own vehicle when between four and eight suspects approached in a black Rolls Royce. They jumped out and took the couple's watches, Michael Kors and Rolex, $19,000. Police said the victims appeared to be inebriated. Okay, you never know. And let's pause for a moment. Who said that? Anybody with half a brain. Ignorance personified. Abortion is wrong. The lefties say, my body, my choice. You can't be in here without a mask on. Lefty loonies. Republican, my body, my choice. Liberal, but you could kill an innocent person. Put your mask on. How stupid are people, really? Okay, we need to go to something good here. Where's my Bible? Life 101, right after this very important message. Don't go away. Still got time to call a friend.
Greg Patton Ministries and the Cross Church
that independent work in Fort Wayne, Indiana, thanks you for listening to Hello World. They're the main sponsors of the program, along with this radio station carrying the broadcast today. It's a big deal to take a big part of our day and share with you news, information, and comment for the Christian. There is so much in the left-leaning news media today, or lamestream media, as we call it. Yeah, we need to hear the truth, my friend. So again, we say thank you for listening, telling others about the broadcast, and supporting us financially. Great need there all the time. And Greg Patton Ministries coming to your church, great idea. Whether it's a day or a week or whatever, we would love to share the Word of God and challenge you on a revival in your own heart. Get in touch, gregpatton.com, GREGPATTEN, and like us on Facebook, too. We love all the new friends that are joining daily. Again, thank you. You know, God has revealed the secret of personal fulfillment and success in life better than anyone else, but most of us miss it. In our materialistic society today, we are trained to grab all we can and look out for being number one. Our noble concept of the rugged individualist and the self-made man miss a very critical truth. Even in the church, we tend to focus on leadership there. Sure we do. Being true to ourselves and finding our ministry. Instead of simply calling someone a servant, I'm a servant of God, we feel compelled to use a phrase like, I'm a servant leader. History and scripture stand against this wave of self-satisfaction. Am I correct on that? Samuel stated his posture in God's calling by replying, speak, Lord, for your servant. Get it? For your servant is listening. 1 Samuel 3, verse 9 and 10. 19th-century preacher and one of my favorites, Charles Haddon Spurgeon, urges us to serve all your life. And today, John Maxwell said the first step to leadership is servanthood. I know many pastors that have been considered, highly successful in life, but boy, they can be personally defeated. All of us can. One pastor said, I was burned out, I was empty, I was miserable. From the outside, I appeared to be doing everything right. The church thought I was on top of it. I was preaching the gospel. I was fulfilling the Great Commission, building a ministry, Christian school. But on the inside, everything was messed up. I was out of fellowship with God, tormented by impure thoughts, and headed for destruction. Then just as David cried out from the pit, I begged the Lord to deliver me, and he did. Praise the Lord. He set my feet on a firm foundation of his truth. And in this process, I've come to understand the significance of Jesus Christ's statement that the servant is greatest of all, there in Matthew 23:11. Ministry must be centered around a purpose, not a personality. Hey, you need to grab that concept. You'll begin to look at people that you can help. If a marriage is faltering, you should want to jump in there and help discover the love of Jesus Christ and how you can help. If a pastor struggles with sin, we should want to help him overcome that. If a child needs food or water, we want to meet the need. In serving others, you develop new relationships with people. Man needs to find out that he becomes lesser, and when he does, then he becomes greater in the eyes of God, because God will get the greatest glory. Yeah, we need to humble ourselves to serve other people. Matthew 25:40. Whatever you did for the least of these brothers of mine, you did for me, Jesus said. Jesus gave his life for these people. We need to begin to give our life to people. In return, he begins to fill us with an abundant life. And who listening to this program doesn't want an abundant life? Truly, that's what we're looking for. By losing my life for his sake, I can find life again. By becoming his servant to helpless people throughout the world and right in your community, you'll find a personal and professional fulfillment and success in life. Yes, we live in a materialistic society. It's easy to put our needs above the needs of others. Yeah, me first. But Jesus always put others before himself, and he expects us to follow that example, does he not? Interesting stuff here from James Robinson. He said he met a missionary named Peter Pretorius on a trip to South Africa And his testimony had a transforming effect on Robinson's life. He told of his success as a prestigious tobacco farmer and a race car driver who lived totally for himself. That was before he decided to share God's message with people in neighboring Mozambique. When he traveled there to arrange a series of evangelistic meetings, his drivers failed to return for him at the appointed time, and what was going to be a two-day trip, 48 hours, lasted a week. During his unexpected stay, Peter saw unimaginable suffering. People were literally dying at his feet. Every day, another 20, 25 malnourished adults and children were buried. He witnessed it all. Wouldn't that be something? Peter helped an elderly man find a resting place against a tree and went to get some water. He cried when he came back and discovered the man was dead. Returning home to South Africa, Peter asked friends and neighbors to help buy food for these people. He rented a truck to transport provisions to Mozambique, and so began his first extensive feeding program. At his invitation, Robinson said he and his wife went to witness the operation and saw some of the most unbelievable scenes they'd ever encountered. Little ones covered in dirt, wearing stained clothing, worn in shreds. They looked at us shyly. Many exhibited the dangers of malnutrition, bloated tummies, patches of orange discoloration in the hair, open sores on the legs. Their smiles drew our eyes from their rags to the anticipation that was on their faces. Once we initiated personal contact, many soon wanted to hold hands and embrace us, some hugs. Thousands of children lined the road as our team set up to feed them vitamin-rich meals, the consistency of oatmeal. They were so very happy to get a basic need. Upon returning home, Robinson and his wife knew that God wanted them to be involved in the project, to give their own finances and inspire others to support these missionaries, to ones that lay down their lives every day. You know, the scriptures place the primary focus on the joy of giving in life, not on the return that you get. Acts 20:35. Jesus offers us the supreme example of what it means to give, right? He gave his life for us, knowing there was nothing that we could give him in return. It's an honor that our Creator allows us today to express his nature as we serve others, or should be. He owes us nothing for our obedience. We owe God everything for Christ's obedience in his death and resurrected life. While Jesus did state that he came to give us life more abundantly, many people mistakenly believe that Jesus came to give us abundance in life instead of abundance of life. There's a big difference. God's not opposed to you having things, but he's deeply concerned that things do not have us. Remember, God's rewards far exceed the value of anything earthly or anything temporal. He may give us the means to afford a new car. Maybe you have a nice home, but he's most interested in giving us a new spirit and an eternal home. And he's also interested in blessing us so we can, in turn, bless other people. How you doing? Well, God gave me a gentle reminder as I talked to my wife yesterday. I guess I've reached the age now where everything I think happened 2 or 3 years ago actually happened back in 2003. Oh, yeah, that says something. I'm not sure if this one's because I'm old or not, but I hate fitted sheets. They're impossible to fold, and things are small. They come off in the middle of the night. I woke up this morning in a body bag. Oh, I've had my say for another day. Get in touch. Go to my website, gregpatton.com, P-A-T-T-E-N, not O-N, E-N. Join me on Facebook the same. I love hearing from you. God's doing some great things. Pray about the demonic seminars. Pray about the book, Invisible War on the Saints. Do something good for God today, all right? Tomorrow, same time, same place. God bless.